Until the end of days today. Hold on to your seat and here we go. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall the end be of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his word. If you'll notice, I read from the Old Testament, the middle of the New Testament, and the end of the New Testament. In fact, these are the last words of all of these writings that we read today. And they're talking about a time like about now, to tell you the truth. You have to wonder about Daniel. You say, well, I'd like to know more about the Lord. I'd like to know more about what's going on. And I'd like to know what the Lord thinks about the world. I'd like to know what he thinks about world events. I'd like to know what he thinks about this and that. Well, how about starting to seek the Lord? You say, well, how do I do that? How did Daniel? First of all, Daniel is one of my favorite people in the Bible, by the way. There's nothing bad said about Daniel. Nothing. Says there's an excellent spirit in him, but there's nothing about Daniel that it says bad. And the Bible don't pull any punches. It'll say exactly what a person is. But what you say, well, what got Daniel started? What was the beginning of this? Daniel was doing something that you need to be doing and that I need to be doing. You know what he was doing? He's reading the book. He's reading the book. This book. All of it that he had. He didn't have much of it. He had Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, Joshua and Judges and Ruth and 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles. He had the Psalms, but he didn't have any of the prophets. He didn't have any of those things. They hadn't been compiled yet. They hadn't all been put together. So Daniel's reading what he has, and what does he have? He has a book that a man named Jeremiah wrote. You have that book. You have two of Jeremiah's books. It's called Jeremiah and Lamentations. And Daniel had been reading in the book of Jeremiah. And as he read the book of Jeremiah, a book of prophecy, he suddenly began to count. And he began to say, Jeremiah says that this is going to be 70 years. So he starts out and he starts counting. And as he counts, it suddenly dawned on him, it's time. We've been here all this time. We've been captives over here in Babylon. We've been going through all of this. And look, he puts his finger right on it in the book and he says, it's time for something to happen. So he begins to seek the face of God. He begins to fast and he begins to pray. He's reading the book. He's reading the book. He's fasting and he's praying. He's calling on God. And as he calls on God, he is determined. My friend, I have to tell you, you need a determination to get a hold of God. You need a determination to get a hold of an experience in your life with God. And Daniel is praying. And he prays today and he prays tomorrow. I mean, we go down and do what Mama used to say, pray a little patch. We go down and we pray 30 minutes and we think we've done something wonderful. We pray an hour and we think we're supernatural. But I have to tell you something, folks. Daniel begins to pray. And he prayed one day and 2 days and 3 days and 4 days and 5 days and 6 days and 7 days. He's prayed a week. But he keeps on praying. Why? He hadn't heard anything from heaven. And he is determined to hear from heaven. So he begins to pray. And he prays 21 days and God hadn't said nothing. Not that he can hear. Not that he can hear. He hadn't said anything. So Daniel's down on his face and knees. He's bound to be weak, about to go out of this world by now. And he has stayed there on his face and knees. And suddenly the angel of God shows up and says, Daniel, I came with the message to answer your prayer the first day you prayed. 21 days ago, the angel had left heaven with the message to Daniel what was going to happen. And you say, well, why didn't Daniel get the message? Because the devil didn't want him to. This mighty angel came down from heaven with a message from God to come to Daniel. And guess what happened? The king of Persia stood up. The prince of the darkness stood up. The devil himself stood up and came against and fought Satan. Satan don't want you to hear from God, folks. Satan don't want to hear your prayers going up and reaching the throne of glory. Satan don't want it to be that God speaks and moves in your life and is real to you. He don't want that. But let me tell you, my friend, just hold on. Just hold on a little longer. Just hold on, my friend. Keep crying out to God and keep calling on Him. Because, my friend, He's coming. He's coming. And after 21 days, Daniel gets the word from God of what's going to happen. Now, first of all, Daniel is overwhelmed, not just because he's been fasting and praying all this time. He's overwhelmed by what he's seen. He has seen the rise and the fall of the empires of this world. He has seen the rising and falling of kings and princes and palaces and powers and all those things. He's seen the work of Satan. He's seen it through the eyes of Nebuchadnezzar and the great golden image. He's seen it by himself as God portrays the nations coming up out of the sea and out of the land as demonic beasts, things that would just blow your mind, and five heads and all those kind of things, and horns and stamping and tearing and ripping. All of them, by the way, are carnivores. All of the nations of the world are viewed in Daniel, God views them as carnivores. So Daniel is looking out at all of this happen, and he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed by the great statue that Nebuchadnezzar has seen. God has spoken through this heathen king and given Daniel the word from heaven. But God has spoken to Daniel. Now, he's not only given him the panorama of history that's going on and on and on throughout all the years, but he has given him the word for Israel. Yes, Jeremiah, you're right. The Holy Spirit did reveal to you that after 70 years, the Israelites would be set free again, not from Egypt, but from Babylon, and come home. And God spoke through them, and God did. Daniel never got to go back to the Holy Land, but Ezekiel did. And Zerubbabel, all of those prophets came back, and the people came back by the thousands and built houses and built a temple and came back to the Holy Land. My friend, that was because the Savior had to come there in that place and in those circumstances. And God, let me tell you something. If you think God is befuddled by all this mess that's going on in the world, you better think about him again. God is not confused in the least. God is not saddled down in the least with it. God is not depressed. God does not feel defeated. God's purpose will be done in this world. My friend, Daniel was overwhelmed with what he saw. It was more than he could imagine. It was more than he could think. It was more than he could know. And when he saw it all and he looked at all of it, I have to tell you what he asked. And it's the same question you'll ask and the same question I've asked. And you say, what is that? Number one is when, and number two is what? When is this going to happen? When is this going to take place? What's the timeline here, God? When are you going to come? When are you going to move in the affairs of this world and set up your kingdom in this world? God, when are you going to bring all these things to pass? And God, what's it going to be like? What's going to happen in the end? Daniel recognizes and seeing all these things that's going on that the end is coming. And my friend, mark it down. It's not going on like this forever. Republicans and Democrats and whatnots are not going to decide history. No more than in the year 2000, a computer was going to decide history. My friend, I can tell you that the world will end when God says so. It started when God said so, it'll end when God says so. And I can tell you, my friend, that even though the nations of the world are like foaming rages of the sea, even though they're like carnivores climbing out of the earth and devouring human beings, even though they're in league with the devil and the bottomless pit is opened in the last days and demons come out of the bottomless pit and inhabit the earth and torment human beings. Even though all those things happen, my friends, the truth is that God Almighty is going to be the fellow that calls the shots. He's going to be the fellow that says what to do. So when Daniel asked him, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Well, he got a different answer than you're getting today. His answer was, close the book and seal it up. Because it's not time yet, Daniel. Close it up, Daniel, and seal the book up and leave it the way it is. Don't give it out to nobody, because the day will come that it'll be unsealed. And Daniel, you'll go to rest and sleep with your forefathers in the earth. But the day will come, Daniel, that you'll be resurrected and you'll stand in your lot at the last day. And Daniel, you'll see all these things happen, but it will be after you have slept in the earth. So Daniel gets maybe that wasn't the message he wanted, that you're going to die. You're going to die and be dead a long time, Daniel. You're going to die and your body's going to lay in the earth a long time. But in the end, Daniel, in the end, you're going to stand in your own lot. In the end, Daniel, you're going to be resurrected and you're going to see the hand of God move in this world. My friend, I don't know how long we'll be here, or when God will take us, or what will happen to us. We don't, any of us know any of that, what's going to happen in whatever way. I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't know all the whens and whats. That's what Daniel wanted to know. When's it going to happen and what's it going to be like? God said, shut the book up, Daniel. It's not time for it. Almost 2,000 years later, the Lord Jesus Christ has been to this earth, crucified, resurrected, and gone back to glory. And the word comes down to the Isle of Patmos. The word comes down through the ages. Oh, they thought they had shut John up. They took him out in the middle of the Mediterranean on a little rocky island named Patmos, and they left him there. They thought, sure, he'd probably starve to death or die of old age since he was past 90 years old. They thought that, man, this would be the end of him. They didn't have to cut his head off or crucify him or anything. Just take him out there and leave him on that island. Well, I'll tell you what, you can lock him up, but you can't lock up the Holy Ghost. And out on that island in the middle of the sea, suddenly, my friend, on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, what's John doing? He's praying. He's talking to the Lord, just like Daniel. And as he prays and talks to the Lord, suddenly the heavens are opened up. And he looks into heaven, and the resurrected Christ, his first cousin, by the way, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is walking among the candlesticks. He's walking among the churches and among the people in this world. But he's doing more. He's walking in heaven. My friend, elders are crying holy unto the Lord. Angels are crying 24/7 holy unto the Lord. And as John looks up to heaven, he sees all of this being unfolded. And guess what? Is he told to seal the book up? No, he's told to hold the book out and pray, my friend, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God named the Lord Jesus Christ, has come down from heaven, and he's lived and he's died and he's rose again. And my friend, he's coming on his white horse with the host of heaven behind him. And let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to break every seal. He's going to unlock history. He's going to unlock everything that's going on. And my friend, in the end, my friend, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. All those kings that Daniel saw, all those kings that Nebuchadnezzar saw, all those beasts that John saw coming out of the ocean and out of the land, all of that harlot church that's riding the back of that scarlet-colored beast, and all of those things, my friend, that John saw, you say, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. All of that, my friend, is coming to an end. You say, what's it going to be like? Well, I'll tell you some things. Said it'd be a time of trouble like never was before. It'll be a time of trouble and distress of nation and commotions among the people like never was before, never would be again, or never could be again. And it would be so terrible that if time were not shortened, there would be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those who are God's, for the elect's sake, my friend, the time will be shortened. I have to tell you, my friend, I don't know how long. Fact is, God especially lets John know, Jesus let us know, no man, I don't care who it is. I remember Herbert Armstrong calculating in the scriptures when God was coming, when Jesus was coming again. He missed it a little bit. Should have been 1975, I think. I think that's what he said when the Lord was coming again. It was 1975. Oh, you say, that was silly of him to do that. Wasn't no more sillier than the Millerites who gathered out in Missouri in 1835 and waited for him to come back again. No more sillier than any of the other people who have gathered together. But my friend, if somebody comes through, I don't care if they're walking on the water and standing on a cloud, let me tell you something. They cannot contradict the word of God. And if they come through and tell you what day and what hour and what moment that Jesus is coming back, don't you get up and go out to follow them. Isn't that what Jesus said? Do not go out there with them. Do not go with them, because no man knows the day or the hour. But I tell you what you do know. You watch the signs by the side of the road. You watch what's going on by the side of the road. And my friend, the time of trouble, the time of distress, the time of national calamities. Folks, I hate to tell you, this virus is just the tip of the iceberg. I hate to tell you that, folks. If you ever aim to be right with God, you ought to get right today. You ought to get right right now. And if you've got somebody that's lost that you love, you might want to warn them that the time is coming. They didn't believe Noah. They didn't believe the angels when they came to Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, as they laughed at them, thought it was a joke, my friend. But let me tell you something. The floods came down in the days of Noah, and the fire came down in the days of Sodom. And I can tell you, my friend, that the distress, a time of trouble and distress of nations, I can't say is going to come. I think it's here. I think we're watching it form and watching it come forth. And my friends, we need to think about that. And so we are faced with a time of distress, a time of trouble, a time of natural calamities, not just diseases, but my friend, earthquakes, volcano eruptions, all of those things. You're so overwhelmed every day with the news. I mean, how many news broadcasting companies are there going right now? A bunch. And it's continuous news, breaking news. Every day there's some news break. Every day there's some new scandal. Every day there's a new earthquake or a new volcanic eruption or a new virus or a new something. Every day, men's hearts, Jesus said, in this day, men's hearts would fail them for fear looking at the things that are coming upon the earth. You say, well, how long will it be? I don't know how long it will be. You don't know how long it will be, but there's some things I know about it. And you say, what's that? Number one, I know it will end. It's not forever. My friend, this cancer, this virus, these afflictions, they're going to end. It's not going on forever. The time of that is at hand. And let me tell you, the time will be shortened for the elect's sake. If it didn't, no flesh would be saved. And we're not talking about eternal salvation. We're just talking about living. No, my friend, there's always this question, and I see it played on in the science. I'm not much to watch science fiction, but I read about it, so I'll be aware of what people are doing and thinking. And I have to tell you something, folks. People talk about all of these things and things that's coming. I don't know exactly what all's going to happen, but I know that it's going to end. I know there's going to be a stopping place to it, and it's going to stop before long. And I know, my friends, that God is the only one that can give us strength to stand. In fact, as He told us to pray, that we'd be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. And I have to tell you, be ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready. The time will be shortened, and the end will come. The day, Scripture's very plain, says the day of the Lord will come. And the end of the days, that's the last words of the book of Daniel, the end of the day. Daniel, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of it. And I had to come to that conclusion several years ago. I studied and I fretted and I worked and all I could do to know all I could about prophecy and about the end. And it's depressing. It's a weight that's on your soul, my friend, and can weight you down. But let me tell you something. I came to the conclusion that somebody is in charge of that. I don't know just how the resurrection will come. I don't know just how everything will work out in detail. Don't worry about the details. Just know one thing, my friend, that it, as the time goes on, it's not going to get any better. Wicked men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what the Scripture said. In the last days, perilous times will come. That's what the Scripture says. And natural phenomena will be there. The stars are going to refuse to give light and go out of the way. The sun's going to refuse to give its light, and yet at the same time is going to scorch the inhabitants of the earth. My friend, if you believe God's book, and that's what Daniel did, that's what John did, they believed God's book, they're praying, they're studying, they're reaching out to God, and God reached out to them. And through them, God is reaching out to you. My friend, read the book. Read the book. Stay on your prayer bones. Keep calling out to God and be a witness to everyone, everywhere that you can. Because I have to tell you something. In the end, all this is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing the United Nations can do about it. Nothing the United States President can do about it. Nothing anybody can do about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We say, what can you do? Be ready. Be ready. Be ready when he comes. But the sad thing is, the Bible said hailstones would be falling from heaven. Why, they'd have to be that big around to come out like it says. You think what that's going to be like. All of these things would be going on the earth, and what will men do? Curse the God of heaven for it. Men of the world are not going to repent. Men of the world are not going to turn to God. But one by one, my friend, we can bring them in. One by one, we can pray and seek the face of God and bring these people in. I have to tell you, you say, well, how's it going to end? I'll tell you how it's going to end. In the book of Daniel, you know what it said there? It said, many that sleep in the dust of the earth shall come forth unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Over in Revelation, it said, we're going to have a first resurrection. We're going to have a resurrection, my friend, where the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Hallelujah. My friend, the armies of this world are going to march. The bombs of this world are going to be set off. The bullets of this world are going to be shot. The wickedness of this world's men is going to be atrocious. The hardness of men's hearts is going to be something that you can't bear hardly to be with. But my friend, in the end, the graves are going to be opened. In the end, the people who are God's are going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound. The day of the Lord will come. The kingdom of God will be set up in this earth. And my friend, one day we will come to the end of the days. One day we'll come down to the place that the days have gone and there's no more to be had. My friend, there will be a judgment. Every human being in this world that ever lived and ever will live. Can you imagine the great mass of humanity standing before the Almighty God? Can you imagine the great white throne of God's judgment? The Lord Jesus Christ standing and the great God of the universe, glory shining, and every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, glory to God, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father Almighty. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus will manifest himself as Lord. I know what the end will be, my friend. I don't know all the twists and turns, but I can trust it in his hand. My friend, your life, you can trust in his hand. Your family, you can trust in his hand. My friend, I can't trust the politicians or the royalties of this world, but I can trust the hand of God. I can trust the mind of God. I can trust the character of God, and he'll never change. Now, I have to tell you about folks. They may be one day this way and the next day another way. You know that, and I know that. You may not be able to depend on folks being the same, but I can tell you, my friend, if it's 10 years from now or if it's tomorrow afternoon when Jesus comes, I can tell you, my friend, that it'll be all right. And you'll be able to say, it is well with my soul, no matter what, no matter what. So my friend, when the end of days comes, and the day is coming, and all men stand before the judgment of God, King Jesus, Oh, I like that. Not the baby in the manger. Not the beaten one on Calvary's cross. But my friend, King Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. Riding on a white horse. Galloping out of heaven with all the host of heaven coming behind him. And all of those who have been resurrected. All of those who have been washed in the blood coming with him. My friend, what a day that will be. And I have to tell you, say, what's Jesus doing? Old song we used to sing, sometimes still do. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Say amen. Amen. Would you give God a hand? Yeehaw. Father God, I thank you this morning that you have not left us in darkness. I thank you this morning, God, that you have not left us without hope and without strength. And Father, as we see the waves overlapping this world and the terrible things that are approaching, as we look for all of that this morning, God, we thank you that we also look for the appearing of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power with crowds and great glory. We thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings and grace and mercies. And pray, Father, that your Spirit will convict us. Oh, God, every person here, that we may be convicted of our need for God, that we turn to the Word of God and to prayer and to seeking the face of God. Oh, Father, that your Spirit may touch each and every one. Lord, not only those who are here in the chapel this morning, but those who are listening in other ways, by CD and by the World Wide Web and by radio. Father, thank you that the Word of God can go and to be there. And thank you that you said that if we come to you, you would in no wise cast us out. Our trust and our hope is in you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.